Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Wednesday night, you know what that means. It's time for the Mark Order Podcast here on the Shining Wizards Network. Aunt Money here with you with Ryan Schlong, the two live crew, two for me, two for you. Unfortunately, we are down a Kate and a Millionaire Matt tonight, but that's okay. The A-team is here to get you through the evening, to recap Rampage and recap Dynamite. And Ryan, I even got something in the mail to show everybody.
Oh, did your blow up doll come?
No, I don't order blow up dolls, nor did anybody send me one. We got the newest AEW crate.
Oh man.
And I didn't peek at it, so we'll get to look at it.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's all Riho stuff.
Well, if you know, if you're lucky, it might be. I have no idea. So Ryan, it's just you and I. There goes the music. Last week, we should probably tell everybody, right? So last week, we were on track to do maybe one of the tightest. Shortest Mark Order podcast ever. And then fucking maniac Spicy Mark Matt decided to jump in, and that was the end of that. We went like 3 hours.
Yeah, he jumped in, and then Kate jumped in, and then things got really, really weird. He jumped in shirtless. We should clue everyone. Like,
that's true.
He didn't just jump in. He jumped in shirtless, which tells you where he was at.
Yeah. He jumped in shirtless, and then Kate decided, I'm not going to sit this one out. So she jumped in too. So it became a full house. But man, we were on track to do a tight show. And hopefully we can do a tight one tonight.
We're going to beat what Lassie could have been.
That's true. My apologies. I just sneezed, so I didn't want to sneeze in everybody's ear. Oh, and you know, Ryan, you're getting old when it fucking hurts your back when you sneeze.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So if you could tell, I'm not feeling that great today. I got a little stuffiness. Hopefully just a little cold coming on. So we're going to keep this tight, Ryan. We're going to keep this tight tonight. Let's do it. The first thing I'm going to ask you, well, actually, you know what, Ryan? Let's look through the crate first, and then I'm going to ask you a quick question. Yeah. A couple quick questions. All right, guys. So this is the Revolution pay-per-view, and the Revolution box, it says it's Monday... Sunday, March 6th. I don't know if that's right. Is that maybe last year's card?
No, I think that's this year's.
Is that this year's? It's weird that it's a Sunday, right? It's March 6th is a Sunday this year.
Yeah, because my birthday is the day before, so I remember thinking like, oh, I'll make a joke. People get me tickets. I'm like, but I wouldn't go down there. So be a waste of everyone's time for that joke.
Yeah, it's just weird that it's a Sunday. They usually try to do Saturday shows. But it's cool. Now that's the day after your birthday.
Yeah, I'm the 5th.
That's the day before Mrs. Money's birthday.
So two good days and three good days in a row. The pay-per-view's always good.
That's right. So Schlong, let's go through this box real quick. I mean, right off the bat, I like this. We get an FTW sticker.
It's missing a Z.
It is, but it's okay. We'll still take that. There's also a Nightmare Family logo pin.
They have a good logo, I will say that.
They do. It's pretty cool, and it's not on somebody's neck. Oh, man. Now, this is perfect. This is a Big Money Matt It's hard to see with the shine here, but it's Big Money Matt Money Clip.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I will definitely get down with that. Micro Brawler here, Nyla Rose. That's pretty cool. Nyla Rose, Micro Brawler. Oh, still get your car smelling nice. An Orange Cassidy air freshener.
Better smell like orange. And I flipped us because Asian Joe said it was throwing him off.
Oh, well, sorry, Asian Joe. Yeah, it's orange scented. I haven't opened it yet.
It's apple scented.
Yeah. Can you imagine? It's not anything to do with orange. Hey, these are pretty cool. Super Kick socks. So it's some Young Bucks socks. Those are pretty cool.
My feet are like your shins.
Yeah, my feet are so fat that they're going to just look stretched out. You're not going to be able to tell who they are. We've also got our poster from last year. Obviously, they're not doing a poster from this year's event when they haven't announced anything, but this is last year's pay-per-view poster.
It's a nice poster.
It is pretty cool. Making a lot of noise. Oh, Schlong, the first crate. The first crate wasn't so great with the autograph. For me, at least. Oh, this is a good one. It's your girl.
Anna Jay. Is a good one.
Anna Jay. That's the autograph this month. And Schlong, there are also two t-shirts. They do two exclusive t-shirts every crate. Let's take a look at those. I saved the best for last here, I guess you could say. Let me just throw some of this stuff back so that I don't get all fucked up here. Let's see. Two t-shirts. Oh, man. First one here is a Jungle Boy. I dig this design.
I would not know that's Jungle Boy. I mean, the word, but like if you didn't read it right away, would not know.
Yeah, I guess because it's a lion. It's like a lion's head that says Jungle Boy in the middle. But it's a pretty cool design. It's the jungle, that's for sure. And Schlong, the last t-shirt, I'm actually really excited about this one.
Rio, be Rio, be Rio.
No, it's not Rio.
I want it to be. Oh, it's a good shirt.
Yeah, it's like a stained glass design. It's pretty cool. And we're going to talk about Malakai Black here as we get through the night, because it was quite a night for Malakai Black and the House of Black, finally. So, Schlong, before we get into Rampage, we had a little bonus show here Saturday night talking about Battle of the Belts. So we're not going to go in deep on it, but what was your take on Battle of the Belts?
I liked it for what it was, an hour show, which is still very weird to me that you do an hour show that's supposed to be like your big thing. I know it's not a pay-per-view, but you would think at least 2 hours. Also, based on not only the reception I'm seeing online, but the ratings and all, makes you wonder if they shouldn't be switching Rampage over to Saturday nights.
Yeah, it's the ratings were good. I mean, it's just like, I mean, you're probably going to have more competition on a Saturday night than a Friday night with maybe basketball or stuff like that. I don't know when they show most of their sports. But yeah, I mean, listen, Saturday night prime time, like I'd watch it. Friday night at 10 o'clock, I still watch it. You know what I mean? So it doesn't necessarily matter. But
to me personally, it doesn't. But I'm just saying if they care about ratings. But then again, TNT's probably loving the ratings they get for that time slot.
Yeah, I'm sure it's better than pretty much whatever they get is good for them, because it's just additional ratings that they can get.
Yeah.
So you like the show. Were you kind of like confused by the whole FTW thing as I said I was?
It's not a recognized belt, which they drive home again and again and again. However, In fairness to the show, they never said Battle of the Recognized Belts. They just said Battle of the Belts, and
right.
that is a belt. So in theory, you could have any belt on that show. If it was an excuse to see a Ricky Starks match, which I really enjoyed, obviously Ricky didn't get the reception I think Ricky deserved. I think people were a little whatever on that match, but also I don't think there was a lot of build to it.
Right.
Like, it kind of came so last minute. But I mean, it was weird because, again, didn't fit with the theme, but you weren't going to put your heavyweight championship. You couldn't put the TBS championship. What else did you, what were we left with?
Right. Yeah. They were stuck. I mean, yeah. And it's kind of like we talked about a Saturday night. It was just like, you know, you kind of knew, you knew when this was coming, right? Like, they knew when the show was going to take place. They knew what was coming before it. So I feel like they kind of put themselves in a tough spot. You know what I mean? Like, they kind of were like, well, we can't do the heavyweight or the world championship. We can't do the TBS title because it just got put on somebody. We can't do the tag title because we just moved them. So you're kind of stuck, you know? It just seemed weird. It seemed weird about that.
It's their own fault for the name. Just call it something else.
Right. I mean, I get what they were trying to do. It was supposed to be, I guess, like their version of Clash of Champions. But if you're not putting all of the champions on display, it's kind of pointless.
And also, like, you can get away with a lot on Clash of Champions because you can kind of say, well, I know this is going to sound lame, but like every wrestler is a champion. Like, even if they're not, like, there's, you can get away with stuff there that you can't get away with when you very specifically say Battle of the Belts. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, listen, I think for their first Saturday night kind of special show, it was pretty good and it did what they needed to do in the ratings. So I don't think they care. I just wish they actually would have devoted a little more time to it. You know what I mean? Like, put together stories that made sense. The only story that kind of made sense was the Riho Britt Baker, because they actually built it over a couple, you know, over like a month, right? Over 3 or 4 weeks. Everything else just kind of seemed thrown together, which was sort of weird. I mean, you know, the TNT stuff, they had to change plans because Cody was out with COVID, but you know, it is what it is. So, well, Sean, I wanted to get your take on that, but I think we can jump into Rampage from January 7th. Now, we actually saw this tape live in Newark, but we didn't get to talk about it. So Mrs. Money was super upset that there was no Tony Nese on Rampage, but we pushed on. And we opened up with Cole and Jake Atlas. And unfortunately, Jake Atlas injured himself during this match. Look, the last I had seen, I didn't really look into it further, Schlong, was that he blew out his knee landing on a springboard jump. And Cole took advantage. He tried to do the Panama sunset, but it wouldn't work. So he basically switch plans and won by knee bar submission, which shows you how quick Cole is to think there. And also just watching that submission, you could tell he was protecting that knee as best he could, holding it just not to do anything to really hurt Jake Atlas. And then after the match, Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends run off Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly before they could injure Atlas any further. So Schlong, it sucks about Jake Atlas, right? We had just seen him on Dark, and now first match on Rampage on regular television. He looked pretty good. A different sort of look for AEW. And it sucks. He's hurt. I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but I don't think it's going to be a short period.
Well, there's a couple things. One, I think he looked better than pretty good. I think he looked awesome. And that's just be hyperbolizing your words. He was very, very, like, just a good style. It was a really great match. If the match didn't end the way it did, people would be talking him up majorly, like Dante Martin levels hype up. I give Adam Cole credit. You know, it took him a couple seconds to recognize that there was a real injury, but as soon as he did, he ended it perfectly. Like you said, he protected the shit out of that knee in that in that finisher. I will say, while you were talking, I pulled up Jake Atlas's tweet, and he said, I'm going to skip the beginning of it.
Sure.
My knee will be just fine. Thank you guys for your concern. I won't be gone long. So maybe he did get some good news.
Maybe that is good news, yeah.
Well, like there's
maybe it was just a sprain and it wasn't a full blown tear or something like that.
Or like a meniscus, which can really fuck you up in the moment, but is generally speaking easier to go than like an ACL.
Right. Well, that would be good news. That would be good news for sure.
Yeah, because he looked fantastic, which goes further to my argument of they're going to, at some point in time, if obviously trios title is the way to go, but they're going to almost have to create a division for wrestlers of that level. Because they just have so many guys who are of like,
yeah,
super, for lack of a better word, elite level wrestlers.
Well, I think we've talked about it here before, almost like an X division, right? Like they could put some sort of like X division together. Obviously, they don't have to call it X division, but like a lightweight X division, some sort of high flyer sort of singles belt, they certainly could. Trios titles, I think, make the most sense for them to bring in at some point. Your idea of that kind of like match structure makes no sense. We're not even going to talk about that.
Listen, but I said it in my post. It was an insane way. I know it was ridiculous. I don't actually consider it, but it was just really funny to think like of the most ridiculous way you could handle a trios title. And to me, it would be to have a best two out of three, a singles match, a tag match, and then a trios match.
That's nothing, which is funny because a single and a doubles match has nothing to do with trios. So if you win two of those matches, you can still win the trios title. Come on, Schlong. Makes no sense.
I admit, again, I said it saying this is the most insane thing I could possibly think of.
Asian Joe said first I need women's tag belts though.
Yes, fully agree on that. Well, no, I think you could do both at the same time.
I think that I would rather have them slow roll what they're doing right now, right? I'm glad that they're not bringing in like a new belt every couple months. That they've actually done a pretty good job with their belts, right? When they started the company, that the world championship, the tag titles, and the women's world championship, what was it, after like a year, they introduced the TNT title, and then now like another year, they did the TBS title, another women's belt. I'm okay with the way they've been doing that. So if the next thing they give us is at some point towards the end of this year, going into next year, they say we're going to do trios titles, I'd be okay with that. If they do the same thing and they say we want to do women's tag titles, you know, going into next year, some sort of tournament or whatever they want to do, I'd be okay with that too. I don't necessarily need them to just throw a bunch of titles. I'm glad that they didn't kind of open up this company with like 80,000 belts because we see how messy that can get in some other companies. But yeah, I mean, listen, trios titles, women's tag belts, same time, different times, you know, it doesn't matter to me. I think both are a good idea.
So I'm more on, I get what you're saying. I kind of want trios almost right away, only because they've now overloaded the roster with talent. You're talking, you have a lot of singles guys they brought in. They have a lot of tag teams they're still sitting on. It is the easiest way to utilize guys all at one time. You're talking six guys every time.
There are a lot of guys who are going to be coming up, Ryan. That's the other thing, too, is there's a lot of contracts that are going to start coming up. Like, I know, you know, we talk about him being, like, the greatest thing in AEW since basically this company started. But, like, Marco Stunt, right? His contract is coming up. Nobody knows what's going to happen with him. Peter Avalon, too. Peter Avalon, actually, his contract, I believe, was supposed to end in mid-December. And it's still going, but nobody knows if it's just been extended or re-signed. Nobody's sure. But we are going to have a lot of guys, Ryan, that are coming off. I don't. Yeah, but that's not me saying I don't think they should introduce trios titles, but I don't think they're in any I don't think they need to rush it.
They don't operate like, again, we always look at contract. We look at contracts through one lens, and that's WWE, which is you're either there or you're not. They don't operate in that regard. You know, Peter Avalon has wrestled probably more independent matches than he has AEW matches.
Yep.
So I think guys coming off contract could very well, unless the guys hate it there, which is a whole different discussion, those guys could just get lower tiered. They could. So you're likely still going to have a lot of wrestlers who are able to come through that door. And having a trios title against, you have a team like Bear Country, they're not clearly going to win the tag titles anytime soon. Give them someone to go with them, and you have a trios team. You know, you Private Party, give them Leo Rush and put them in the trios. Like you suddenly have, and then it has matches. Then you can have your singles matches, not for the belt, but you could have like the two singles guys of the trios team can have a match, and there's a stake there because it gives that team momentum in their feud.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't hate it. I'm with the idea of trios titles. I just, you know, I don't think they need to rush it. If they want to slow roll it at some point, I think it's coming, but it doesn't seem like they're in any rush to get them out there. I will say, Bear Country, no rush for those guys. They hold WrestlePro gold. That's like the highest gold you could have. And actually, we saw tonight, the Acclaimed versus Bear Country in the gym in Rahway, right? It's quite a match.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's what I'm saying with AEW. They let their guys go everywhere.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely do. As is apparent, if you're following what's going on with GCW's Hammerstein show, it's basically a GCW / AEW show. It's crazy how much AEW talent's going to be there. Ryan, perhaps the greatest match ever took place Friday night, Hook versus Aaron Solo. Hook was very over, I can tell you that much, live. He was able to really take it to Aaron Solo. He put him away with the Red Rum submission, which is really the Taz mission. And then afterwards, QT Marshall gets in Hook's face because Hook kept the submission on Aaron Solo after the bell. QT had a problem with that. So he hits the Tazplex on QT Marshall and then makes his way off. Again, Shlong, Hook is super over. Looked pretty good in the ring. Third professional match, the man is 3-0.
He is smooth as fuck, which is the most shocking thing to me. Again, there's been wrestlers who catch on quickly. I can't remember one in a long time who's this smooth. I think truthfully you got to look at NXT, and there's Bron Breakker over NXT who's at this level of a guy who's just starting out who's super smooth. It's insane to me how some guys just are so smooth. I will say they've been very careful in picking his opponents, which has been great. You know, you give him Fuego, who sells like a motherfucker. You give him Bear Bronson so he can beat up someone bigger. And Bear Bronson's quite good at selling and being a wrestler. And now you give him Solo. And Solo has grown on me over time as they've allowed him to get more and more personality. But he's a very good wrestler. So you knew that going out there with Hook, he was going to make Hook look great. And now it looks like you're going to give him QT Marshall. And I mean, QT is going to make him look like $1 million. So not only is Hook good, they've been very smart in who they're putting him up against. They haven't tried to give him anyone who might, for lack of a better term, expose any of his weaknesses.
Yeah. And, you know, there's the story with Hook too, right? And QT Marshall, right? Because he was training at the Nightmare Factory. And QT said he was really the one responsible for teaching Hook everything he knows. So there's that little bit of a history there too. So I don't disagree. I think maybe we're going to get QT and Hook will put him away. But man, I love what they're doing with Hook. The presentation's great. The music, I didn't really like it at first, but it's perfect. The one thing a lot of people say is his hair is stupid. I don't think so. I think his hair's great. He's got a great head of lettuce, Shlong.
I think it's both. I think he has a good head of hair that he doesn't do anything with, so it looks kind of silly, but it's perfect because it looks like he doesn't give a fuck, which is the whole point of that character.
Yeah, I agree. He gets in the ring, he just kind of doesn't care, and then he does it and he leaves. So Hook was great. We had Tony Schiavone interview Andrade El Idolo mocking the relationship between Darby Allin and Sting. I think he called him basically like his helper. Was asking, what it would take to basically hire Darby Allin for his services. We had Riho and Ruby Soho against Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter kind of going into the Battle of the Belts. And Riho defeated Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. Baker basically gets upset with Hayter after the match and leaves the ring without her. But all was well once Britt Baker won that Battle of the Belts match. So this was clearly just a build to that match. We had Dan Lambert and the Men of the Year cut a promo, shitting on Tony Khan's booking, and says they'll keep a close eye on the interim championship at Battle of the Belts. So clearly, I think, Schlong, that, you know, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page are going to be lurking around that title at some point, you know, but it's just frustrating, man, because they don't need Dan Lambert. They really don't. And I just don't know why we keep going to Dan Lambert.
Yeah, we're going to have more of that tonight. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Dan Lambert again, unfortunately. And then we have our interview between Eddie Kingston, Santana and Ortiz, and Daniel Garcia in 2.0. Eventually, Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz find their way over to the heels in the interview and start to brawl behind the stage. And then the ring actually the match, you know, spills out towards the ring. We have the bell, and eventually Santana, Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston defeat Daniel Garcia in 2.0. So the bad guys are sore losers. They attack the faces after the match, and then they tape Eddie to the ring ropes, and that's when Jericho throws down the headset from the commentary table and storms to the ring to make a save. The heels run off and the show goes off the air. But Schlong, clearly this whole Eddie Kingston, Chris Jericho thing is not going well. You know, their relationship is not well. We will talk about it more tonight. But did you enjoy this anything goes kind of street fight? There's a lot going on in it. I can tell you live, it was hard to kind of follow everything. It played way better on TV.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think street fights are awesome. I think that's, I mean, we knew that Santana, Ortiz, Kingston, they're going to be good. And I think 2.0 with Garcia were just as good. So yeah, I can see that not being great in person, because you have three guys, like, you need the camera cuts to get, you know, what's happening in each moment, what's the best move, rather than, you know, trying to follow all three with your eyes, because I would get confused, right, and lose it.
Yeah, and you know, you can't clearly obviously see everything going on from every angle. So, you know, some of what people were oohing and awing at, if we weren't watching the screen, you know, we didn't really catch it. But all in all, pretty fun rampage going to Battle of the Belts. It helped push the storylines there. We kind of touched on Battle of the Belts. And if you want to hear my take and Mrs. Money's take on Battle of the Belts, you can hear the bonus content that we provided. Our first bonus show for the Mark Order podcast, you can find it at any of your podcast, you know, kind of forums or places that you used to listen to podcasts, or you can go to our YouTube page and watch that show. Schlong, that was Rampage, and we're got to get into Dynamite. There was a lot happening tonight, although I'll give you a little update, Schlong, before we get into it. I feel like the show was a little flat, and we'll talk about it, but there were a few things that happened that were pretty exciting. So there's a bunch that we'll get into, but we want to let you know, Schlong, did you know we're part of the Shining Wizards Network?
I'm starting to pick that up, but I could really use some reinforcement.
Well, we are part of the Shining Wizards Network. The flagship show, so the Shining Wizards, have been going strong for over 10 years. You can hear them every Monday night on YouTube, as they broadcast their show live. And then Matt yesterday did a bonus show where he interviewed Matt Taven. So they've been killing it. If you like the Mark Order podcast, if you like the Shining Wizards, then stay tuned, because we have some words from some of the other great programming that is part of the Shining Wizards Network.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. When it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantdmradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to shiningwizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest running podcasts on the interweb. And every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
All right, we're back on the Mark Order podcast, and I want to let you guys know you can get some free stickers by hitting us up on our social at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know, wherever. Send us a DM with your name and address, and we'll get them out to you. I know that, I can't remember. Somebody asked me the other day, I'm going to be sending some to Canada. I just haven't gotten a chance to get to the post office as I started feeling under the weather today, and work has been kicking my ass. So they will be on their way. I have not forgotten. They are on their way. I apologize. I just can't remember right now because my brain is jelly and I can't remember who asked me. But Ryan, I'm going to be sending out stickers. So if somebody wants stickers, what should they do? Hit us up with a DM and I'll send them out anywhere in the world. All right, so let's see, Ryan. Dynamite. Let's talk about Dynamite, because guess what? No rankings.
Oh, no raps?
Can't do the raps. I'm sorry, you said you were going to rap tonight, but there's no rankings to rap. So we'll just have to go straight into Dynamite. I wish there were rankings,
guys, but sorry.
I know. This was the one time. This, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance, you know, for this opportunity.
I missed it.
Well, let's get into Dynamite. So we open up with, believe it or not, it's not something they do all the time, Ryan, but we open up with a non-wrestling intro. We get Adam Cole.
Baby.
There we go. Come out and get on the mic. He's surrounded by Red Dragon. He says 21 was a great year for the three of them. 2022 will be even better. He reminds everyone that he's undefeated in singles competition. And on top of that, the boys are back together. It's a new era, he says, in AEW. And then the Young Bucks interrupt. Matt Jackson says he kicked COVID's ass in just 2 days and figured they'd come to the ring to join them. And then Kyle O'Reilly basically lets them know nobody invited them and they didn't need help winning in Jacksonville. So Matt puts Red Dragon over as one of the best teams in wrestling and says they're right, they didn't need the help. But the Bucks do have to make one thing clear. This is their company. They're the longest reigning AEW World Tag Team Champions. Their New Year's resolution is to get those belts back. And Kyle says it's funny because they have the same resolution. And Bobby Fish says not a single team on this planet can stand between them and the tag titles. And Cole tries to spin it all as, you know, sort of friendly competition, says that that's what makes them the greatest faction in AEW history, compared them to the Best Friends, who are an absolute joke. And of course, that's when the Best Friends come down, Ryan. The two factions basically square up. Cole yells about cutting their music. He asks what Orange Cassidy could possibly say that's of any importance. And that's when Cassidy jumps him with a double leg. And we have a brawl. Orange lights up Adam with forearms as everybody else goes to the floor. We get a back body drop to put Brandon Cutler into everybody. And that's when Adam Cole starts to face off with Orange Cassidy, and Chris Statlander comes and gets in the way. And that's when Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, attacks Chris Statlander. She hits the stomp before holding Orange Cassidy in place for her boyfriend, who gets super kicks Orange Cassidy and then hits the boom, and the Elite stand tall, and Adam brings the Bucks in for a kiss, but Britt Baker stops it and steals her own kiss. And that's when we get a video package for CM Punk and Wardlow to go to break. But Ryan, a very rare occasion where they didn't open up with wrestling, but I loved all of this. And, you know, giving the reality of Britt Baker and Adam Cole's relationship, but they haven't really leaned into, except for like maybe the second week Adam Cole was here and told Shivani to back up and stay away from his girlfriend. So I kind of loved it.
Oh, this was perfect. I mean, if they did this every week, I would hate it. Asian Joe and Chad is basically saying that, like, hey, it's kind of WWE, but they don't do it all the time, so it's good. That's exactly it. If you can open some shows with talking, if you don't open up every single show with it. I love that we're not sure what's happening with Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, or Adam Cole and Red Dragon. It's a very fun story to tell. But what I love even more is that you still have this feud with the Best Friends included, so that they're telling multiple stories. I hate when places get locked into one story at the detriment to all others. This is telling a bunch of things, and introducing Britt to counteract Statlander is perfect. One, because there's the real life relationship, so it makes a lot of sense. And two, Britt versus Statlander, that was one of her best title defenses. So if you want to give that for a while till you hold over for Thunder Rosa, I'm quite okay with that, especially because there's logic to it. It's not out of nowhere. It makes sense with the story they're telling. I love this. I love the whole story. I love what they're doing. And we're going to get some really good matches out of it, so I can't even complain about that.
Yeah, you know, as you said, like, the fact that this whole thing is not at the detriment of, you know, kind of the few stories they're telling is absolutely true. This could actually be, you know, like the thing that sort of pulls the Elite and Red Dragon sort of together, right? Because they have kind of a unified common enemy, and that's the best friends. So we'll see how it goes, but I like this a lot. And Asian Joe said it, you know, it was a very, you know, WWE style opening, but he's okay with it because they don't do it all the time. Yeah, absolutely. You know, usually they come out with some really hot, you know, tag match or a singles match. You know, they've done that before where you know, will open up with like a world championship match and stuff like that. You know, but when they do these, it sort of feels special, right? So, so I thought it was great. I thought it was really, really fun. So moving on from this, Shlong, as we said, we got a video package about CM Punk versus Wardlow to send us to break. And we get back, that's the match we get, CM Punk versus Wardlow. And man, did CM Punk take a beating? You know, Wardlow is down at in the ring, and of course MJF is ringside because he's paying the bills. And Wardlow actually powerbombs CM Punk like, I don't know, five times, and he goes for the pin, and MJF basically says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! I want you to hurt him." So Wardlow basically hits another one. MJF says he wants more. So he hits a seventh power bomb. You know, MJF wants another one. And as Punk rolls to the apron, and kind of gives a thumbs up to Ref Aubrey, MJF, is able to, you know, kind of get to the ringside, timekeeper's table, and basically says, "I want you to put Punk through the table." So Wardlow obliges. He gets powerbombed through the table, and Aubrey starts her count. And that's when CM Punk stirs, crawling to get back in the ring. He does beat the count at nine. MJF orders another powerbomb, but that's when CM Punk manages to catch Wardlow. He wins by pinfall. CM Punk wins by pinfall with the inside cradle. And then post-match, MJF gets into it with Wardlow, and it looks like they're going to come to blows finally, Shlong, but Sean Spears is able to get between them to play peacemaker, and that's when Wardlow storms off and we go to break. So it looked like it was going to happen here tonight, Shlong, but it hasn't happened yet. But it looks like we're very close to this split between Wardlow and MJF. I'll say this, Shlong. I was okay with the way they constructed this. My one problem with that inside cradle was Wardlow didn't really roll up as quickly as he probably should have, right? So it just looked a little clunky, but I get what they were doing. I liked the concept of what they were doing. What did you think?
I'm with you. I liked the whole layout of the match. Wardlow absolutely dominated Punk. I mean, that wasn't even close. And then to have MJF basically be the reason he loses because he let Punk live. And I like that it was a cradle and not a roll-up, because a cradle actually looks realistic where a roll-up doesn't. You know, a cradle uses locking up limbs and momentum. It's a whole thing. I saw a couple of people online mad that Punk beat someone else and Punk's going to always be undefeated. He's 13-0, so let's not pretend he's got this huge winning streak. Also, Wardlow was never going to be Punk. It's MJF's going to be Punk's first loss.
That's like, right.
Let's just be fair. And this put Wardlow over huge because he does not look bad in this loss at all. He looks like a monster. So I don't understand anyone who has a problem with Punk winning all these matches, especially because it's CM Punk. It's like Bryan Danielson. It's like all these guys. Like, he's at that level. He's going to have this run so that when he loses his first match,
which will be to MJF,
it'll be huge. And the heat will be huge.
Yeah.
So people are ridiculous. And then I think, don't we still have that like ladder match coming up?
Yeah, there's that. I don't remember what they called it, but there's a ladder match. Yes, for the, I think TNT champion, a shot at the TNT championship. I'm not sure if that got kind of pushed off because of what's going on with Cody, but you know, that is coming up at some point because MJF reminded Wardlow if he wins that shot and wins the belt, he has to give it over to MJF.
Because I still think that's the nail that's the final nail in the coffin. That's the straw that breaks the camel's back. That is the thing that when it happens, Wardlow finally says, all right, now you've pushed me around. I've had enough. We've learned that Smart Mark isn't the greatest attorney, so he's going to find some way out of that contract, and he's going to beat the shit out of MJF, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's coming. It is certainly coming, and we'll talk about MJF again. And I agree with you. The inside cradle was definitely the right move instead of the roll up. The best part of it, it was MJF, you know, locked his legs, you know, locked his ankles, you know, and his legs around Wardlow's that looked really strong to make it seem like he couldn't get out. It was just the actual roll up to the inside cradle that looked a little clunky, but I give it to, I mean, listen, CM Punk was ready to get a ninth power bomb. I mean, he took 8 power bombs, 1 through a table. I mean, he doesn't have to do that. He's doing it because he wants to, right?
So yeah, I mean, this made Wardlow. I'm not going to steal the comment. I'm going to give Asian Joe said that's a big endorsement from Punk that he lets Wardlow powerbomb him that many times. That's exactly it. Punk has the authority. Punk could have just said, absolutely not. I'm not going to make him look that strong. And Punk said, in fact, I will make him look like the most dominant motherfucker in this entire company.
Yeah, absolutely. And it worked. He got him. He powerbombed him 8 times, and he only lost because it was MJF and his greed, and it was an inside cradle. So it wasn't like he got his ass beat by CM Punk and was made to look like a fool. So I loved it. I think that, like I said, we'll talk about MJF in a little bit, but we are certainly heading towards some sort of big match against CM Punk and MJF. Shlong, we go to Dante Martin versus Powerhouse Hobbs. You know, they start to brawl. They, you know, commentary basically shows clips of their first match where Powerhouse Hobbs got the best of Dante Martin. But Dante Martin, now obviously a little older, wiser, more seasoned, is able to actually hold his own, even with some outside interference from Ricky Starks. As Dante Martin is getting towards the end of this match, Jay Lethal is able to run out to cut Ricky Starks off from interrupting, and Dante is able to take advantage. He wins by pinfall this match, and him and Jay Lethal run off before Ricky Starks could get any sort of retribution. So I'm not sure what's going on here with Jay Lethal now. It's sort of weird. Maybe Leo Rush was not available tonight, but it just sort of seems weird, Shlong, right? Like, what did Jay Lethal have to do with this? Because Dante Martin, as far as I know, doesn't have any ties to Jay Lethal. What did you think?
I loved the match itself. I thought that was very good. Both guys look strong. Dante got a solid win, a real win. Since it was two young guys, you know, one of them was going to have to get the win, but they both look good. I'm with you. I don't understand the Lethal thing. Now, I could think maybe they're setting up a trios match because you have Hobbs, Hook, and Starks versus Leo, Dante, and Lethal, because I guess Darius isn't ready to come back yet. I don't know for sure. Though in fairness, we haven't seen Dante with Leo since they did that thing, have we?
No, I don't really think we've seen them together since he signed the contract with Team Taz. And then obviously, like, he, you know, turned his back on Team Taz pretty quick. I don't know what that was, but we haven't really seen him with anybody. It almost seems like they're sort of fighting for his allegiance again, right? Like, it's sort of weird.
Yeah, I don't know what the plan. I mean, to me, the plan was always fight until Darius comes back and then have him be like the only one who has ever actually cared about me is my brother. But we'll see. Lethal obviously comes with his own issues that people talk about, and they know a lot more about than I do because I'm not as well informed on that subject. From a strictly TV show point of view, he's a good wrestler. He will put on good matches. He did kind of come out of nowhere, but I'm this is one of those cases where let's see where they go with it, because this story has taken a bunch of twists and turns already.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where they're going with this story, and I'm with you. I thought that this was all going to kind of lead up to his brother coming back, and it seems like maybe his brother's not ready to come back as much as everybody thought he was. But either way, listen, I love seeing Dante Martin on television. He's having good matches. The guy is always kind of flying around, just doing these incredible moves, getting so much air. So I love anytime we see Dante Martin on television. But I just don't know what's going on with the story. It seemed like they were going one way and then they kind of abruptly pivoted. It is sort of, I'll give Kevin Grifo credit here because we're thinking along the same lines. KJG from The Shining Wizard says, I think it builds up Dante that everyone thinks so much of him that they take interest. I agree with that, but this is the first time we're seeing anything from Jay Lethal in, relation to Dante Martin. So we don't necessarily know if it's he's taking interest or if he's got some sort of issue with Ricky Starks. Like, it just seemed out of nowhere. That's what sort of fell flat for me. But yeah, I mean, I think moving on from this schlong, we'll see what happens with Dante Martin and Jay Lethal. I like your idea of maybe a trio or a tag match with Team Taz. But moving on directly from this in the show tonight, the Inner Circle gets interviewed backstage. They are announced as PWI's 2021 Faction of the Year. And Chris Jericho says that since day one, their mission statement has never wavered. They're here to dominate the company and be the biggest, baddest band of Blood Brothers the industry has ever seen. If 2.0 want to get involved in Sammy Guevara's match tonight, they'll certainly take care of it. That's when Eddie rolls up and says he doesn't care about Sammy. He wants Daniel Garcia because he jacked his knee up. And further, Jericho is why Ortiz and Santana haven't been tag team champions yet. And Chris tells Eddie to get the hell out of their business. Santana tells everybody to get their shit together and leaves. Eddie asks Ortiz for some backup, but he leaves as well. And Jake Hager also walks out. Jericho also tells Eddie that he's welcome to be at ringside tonight, but if he gets involved, Chris might just kick his ass too. So, Schlong, we are certainly leading to Chris Jericho, Eddie Kingston. Again, something I never thought I needed or wanted to see, but I'd be down for this.
Me too. I'm interested to see the build to this, though, because it feels like they're almost trying to make Jericho the face in this. And as history has shown time and time again, you cannot be a face with Eddie Kingston in the feud. He will get the cheers, especially because he's not wrong. Santana and Ortiz are always wrapped up in other people's feuds. That's why they're not going for the tag titles. They are always right. Dealing with someone else. So I definitely want to see the match, and I'm very interested to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, 2.0 and Garcia are kind of like, what should bring everybody together, but egos are sort of so big, right? That's what's kind of causing them to bump heads. I sort of like that story. But yeah, let's see how they continue to build it. I like it. We'll talk more about 2.0 and Garcia as we get to the main event of the night. But after this, we get an impromptu MJF promo. And he calls out CM Punk and says he knows he's in a world of pain, and Mach congratulates him on the win tonight. And that everybody knows Punk got powerbombed to oblivion and it was a fluke victory, but he's not going to win next week. He's going to personally make sure that CM Punk takes his first L in AEW. There's no more running, no more hiding. You want the match, you got it. You're going to get CM Punk versus Sean Spears. What a fucking asshole. Schlong, we didn't think we were getting MJF and CM Punk that quickly, right? So this is just, again, perfect MJF being a weasel and hiding behind his faction.
Correct. And I'm very interested to see how they let Punk go against Sean Spears. Obviously, they're not going to have Punk get dominated like they would by Wardlow. So I'm wondering, is it very close or does Punk look super strong in this to the detriment of Spears, but to the strength of Wardlow? It's going to be a real interesting time.
Yeah, I think that you know, what I'm just glad that they didn't kind of throw on that match was like make it a chairs match, because remember that's what he did to Jericho, the labors of MJF. He was like, you got to go against Spears and Spears can use a chair, right? So this feels very much like the same thing, but they're not giving us the exact same thing. So we'll see how it plays out. But listen, CM Punk is money on TV, so let's see what he can do against Sean Spears. Moving on from this, we get Adam Cole, the Bucks, Red Dragon, and Britt Baker cutting a promo on the Best Friends backstage. Britt Baker challenges Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander to a mixed tag team match next week. So that should be fun. Dynamite next week, we'll get Britt Baker and Adam Cole versus Orange Cassidy and Chris Statlander in a mixed tag match. Hangman Adam Page makes his entrance and gets on the mic. He says he spent 90 minutes the past 2 months in the ring against the best in the world. He's poured sweat and blood to float a battleship, enough sweat and blood to float a battleship to keep the greatest prize in wrestling, and it's still his, goddammit. But 90 minutes isn't enough. It's a new year. Records have reset and the Hangman needs a new challenger. That's when our favorite Ryan enters, Dan Lambert. And Paige asks, the audience to please shoot him. Dan talks about the great wrestling cowboys of his youth, Bill Watts, Dan Hansen, the Funks. And now this East Coast cowboy is what we've got. Hangman says if Page and Scorp want a match, all they have to do is ask. But Lambert says he knows what Adam can do, and the matches against Danielson were some of the best he's ever seen. And the thing that he likes the most is that he didn't take the Cody Rhodes path, right? He earned everything he has, in the business, with the exception of the gimmick. And he comes across stealing a legacy completely full of cowboy shit. And Adam says turning down a 6-figure contract isn't cowboy shit, and tells Dan to come to the ring. Let him shove his size 12 boots where the sun doesn't shine. And that's when Lambert goes to make his exit. But Schlong, surprise, surprise, Lance Archer is back and looking like he's in fine shape. Dan runs to the ring and Lance grabs him by the hoodie. Dan is pleading that he didn't do anything to hurt him. He don't waste your opportunity with the champion. And that's when Lance Archer attacks Adam Page. He's able to get him up, blackout onto a chair. And that's that segment. So Schlong, first of all, good to see Lance Archer back, and he looks like he's in good shape. But did this seem a little out of left field for you, Lance Archer all of a sudden coming down to the ring and attacking Adam Cole?
Yes, but they made sure to point out tonight that records have reset themselves. So he doesn't have a record to go against him. There's no one who has a great 2022 record, I should say. I don't know why I even went back to 2019. That's pretty bad on my part. Except for you know what it is? I was gonna say Captain Sean Dean, who's 1-0 against MJF. Well, 2-0 now after his win on Dark. But my point being, there's no records. He obviously always comes off as a threat, so you can put him there. So while it is out of left field, it is a nice transitionary feud for Hangman while you establish a real one, because he just had a great one. So now they need to kind of like give him a minor one until they set up to the next big one. So I like it. I'm glad to see that, you know, Archer's back and he looks phenomenal.
Yeah, he looked like he was in great shape. I love Lance Archer. So if this is what they're going to build to, good for Lance to be able to kind of come into the picture and be the next guy for Hangman Adam Page. And Lance is sort of a monster, right? He's that monster character. So this could maybe help out Adam Page by kind of slaying one of the monsters. Either way, let's see how it plays out. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt right now. I'm just glad to see Lance is back. We go to Arn Anderson, Lee Johnson, and Brock Anderson interviewed backstage. Schlong, it's been a while, I feel like, since we've seen Brock Anderson. And Arn says he's proud of both dudes and says they're going to experience something they never have before, that and that is the fact that this is horseman country. That's when Tully and FTR roll up, and Tully says if he really wants to relive those days, he needs to join up with them. They end up making a tag match for next week, and they go to break. So next week we're going to get Brock Anderson and Lee Johnson versus FTR. Now, Schlong, I know that I think the Doctor Who shall not be named in the Discord, and I saw a couple other people surmising maybe this gives the Briscoes a reason to show up next week. I still don't think that that's happening. I think that if FTR is going to show up somewhere with the Briscoes, it's going to be in GCW. But do you think that's possible? Maybe the Briscoes show up on AEW TV?
I think it's possible, sure. I mean, I wouldn't rule anything out at this point. Christian and Nick Gage show up, so at this point, they're more realistic than he is. They would have seemed more realistic than he would, considering they were in ROH. I can see it, but I'm with you. I think GCW is the place.
Yeah.
I'm pausing because it's... There is absolutely a road where I can see Tony Khan being like, fuck it, it'll be fun. Bring him on. Let's see where this goes. But I think their best match, their best chance to be what they want to be, is at GCW, where they can be a little looser, because the Briscoes promo style is not exactly
right,
the most TV friendly. So we'll see. I will also point out that I know a lot of people don't really like the Brock Anderson thing. They're like, why is he around? I will say, having watched a lot of Dark and Elevation, I kind of like him and Lee Johnson together. I think they make up an interesting team of Lee's very athletic, he's quicker. He does a lot more of that stuff Brock is more old school in his style, a lot more mat wrestling. And I think it's a nice combo, and they're starting to, get a feel for themselves. They just, neither one of them is great on the mic yet. So obviously they have Arn Anderson, but they're really either going to need Arn to really step up or be given someone else to have a chance. Cause I love Lee Johnson, not great on the mic. And so he's got to either do it a lot more, or they got to give him a voice.
Well, Arn Anderson is an okay guy to do it. And it should be fun next week. FTR have good matches usually with younger or older talent. So this could be a really good match. We'll look forward to it next week. Back from commercial, we get a hype reel for our new AEW TBS champion, Jade, including a promo where she talks up her title. So she's basically talking about how she's still that bitch and she's going to defend that title. Although nobody has come forward yet to really assert challenge for that belt yet. And Shalong, this is where we go into Hikaru Shida versus Serena Deeb. And Deeb had vowed to basically get retribution on Shida for the unfair losses that she took. And so Deeb attacks Shida before the bell, actually right as she's getting to the ramp, and puts her, she's able to kind of chop block her in the back of the knee. She puts her knee into the steel steps. Shida says she's good to go, but eventually this match isn't long for this world. Serena Deeb wins by referee stoppage, with the Serenity Lock on that injured knee. That Serenity Lock is pretty badass, especially because before she really locks it in, she smashes your knee into the mat. Deeb does smash your knee into that. Post-match, Deeb gets the kendo stick, returns to the ring, and beats down Shida with it, hammering on the knee. Aubrey and Mike Posey come to the ring to pull Deeb off Shida. And then some baby faces come out to help Shida get to the back. I believe it was Anna Jay, Tay Conti, and Sky Blue. So we'll see where this goes in the future. But Deeb gets the win here tonight, Schlong. Did you mind this? We're going back and forth here a little bit.
So a couple things here. First, the funny thing is, you make the Shida joke about not knowing who she is. Since she's lost the title, it's almost killed your ability to make that joke, because she has shown up way more since losing the title than she has since she did when she had it. She's had promos. She's been all over the place. It's ridiculous. It took her losing to finally be put fully on display.
I mean, she just bores me. I don't ever need to see her.
I get what I'm not talking about your opinion. I'm talking more about why you didn't recognize her versus you do. She was never anywhere beforehand.
That's true.
Love this out of Deeb. love this story. Love how vicious she is. They need this in the division, like a heel that is who's purely evil, like kind of like evil a little bit, but like so much better than everyone that they can be that way. Because like Britt doesn't really, I love Britt, but she's more of the cocky, like braggadocious style. Jade is Jade, great talker, doesn't have that. Whereas Deep is like, okay, she's the heel that can go out and have these amazing matches with people, but is also vicious. You know, she's Bryan Danielson versus Hangman, like that type of thing.
Totally.
So I love it. I love what they did with this match. I don't mind if they have another one down the road. It probably won't be for a little while. Because they're obviously selling to keep Shida off TV for a bit. She might have to go to Japan or something. So obviously there's some time and stuff there. So yeah, this is great. I loved this.
Well, it's also interesting because we had those other faces come down to help out Shida. So maybe we get some other matches between Deeb and some of Shida's friends, you know, before we get back to a rematch or a tag match or something like that.
I will say one thing real one point out.
Sure.
This was a relatively quick match. They could have had another women's match on this show. Like, why?
You're right. They surely could have. They absolutely could have. I don't know. I thought this was actually going to be a longer match. So I don't know. But let's move on. Christian Cage and Jurassic Express are interviewed backstage. Jungle Boy talks about wanting a challenge, and the Beaver Boys roll up to make their case for getting a title match. So Johnny Hungy and Alex Reynolds will get a title shot on Friday Night Rampage. Moving on, Matt Hardy is on the mic in the ring and cuts a promo on Penta, saying that tonight in his backyard in front of his beautiful family in attendance, he's going to delete Penta and send him to the hospital to be with his brother. So we have Matt Hardy versus Penta El Zero Mierdo, cutting to the end here, because it's really all about the end of this match long. Penta is able to win by pinfall with the Fear Factor. Post-match, he calls out Malakai Black and says he's going to show Black some respect because he's Penta. And then the lights go out. They come back up and Malakai's in the ring. He drops Alex Abrahantes with the big boot. He punches Penta. Super kick, gets a roundhouse kick. And Black draws him up and tears at his mask. But then Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr. make the save. Julia Hart is also there to cheerlead from the apron, saying that it's not enough. And then Black is shown laughing in the middle of the ring as he counts the number of men in the ring. 1, 2, 3. Lights go down. Lights go up, Schlong. And finally, the long-awaited debut of Brody King. Brody King is in the ring, cleans house, takes out Pillman with a cannonball senton in the corner, and Malakai tosses Griff at him with a superplex, and Brody catches him into a power slam. The Kings of the Black Throne are here, and man, Brody is going to do really well, I think, in front of the TV audience, and some maybe who never even saw him. Schlong, he's finally here. So two questions. Are you as excited as I am that we finally have Brody King? And two, I know we just got the second man. Do we have an idea who the third man is? Or maybe we got to talk about that a little later.
So first off, good match. That was a solid match between those two. Thank God Brody King finally appeared. I still truly believe he was set to appear last week and the injury screwed everything up, which is fine. I completely get that. That makes a lot of sense. My guess last week was they were going to have all the tag teams walk out, you know, do the clapping, and then you were going to have the lights go out one last time, and there he would be standing behind everyone. He looked incredible. He is incredible. Those two are going to be monsters. I don't think they have a third picked out yet, or maybe they do, but I don't think they're ready for it. I think they're going to let Brody King breathe a little while because he's such a big figure. You got to give him time to breathe and get his place in the thing. The interesting thing was the Julia Hart saying that's enough.
Yeah. I just don't know if I even care enough about Julia Hart where I care about that story. There's so many people who are saying like Julia Hart's gonna join the House of Black. I don't understand what that would bring to anything, but you're right. She was yelling, "That's enough." Or was she yelling, "That's not enough"? Like she wanted them to keep going. Maybe we misheard it.
That's true. We could have misheard it. I'm going to be 100% honest. My fear is she's going to take off that patch and something's going to be up with her eye. And I don't want that.
Well, I got that theory for another guy and we'll talk about that coming up.
Here. Yes, Pac. But I know where you're going with it. But either way, I don't want that. Because I don't want the supernatural element.
Yeah. Yeah. For Julia Hart, there's nothing there to get me to care that much for her to have some sort of supernatural element. I just, whatever. I'm sorry. I just don't get it. But Brody King, man, it's exciting. He's there. He looked great. And the crowd seemed to know who he was. Right. And even if they didn't, he's a big dude who can move. So I think they'll quickly understand what he's all about. So good to see Brody in the ring. We go to Chris Statlander being interviewed backstage about her mixed tag match next week. And Layla Hirsch gets upset and asks if she thinks that's selfish because they have a tag team match on the books for Friday night. And Red Velvet tells them she needs both of them to work together. So clearly Layla Hirsch still having problems with her cohorts, but we will get a match Friday night. Layla Hirsch, Red Velvet, and Chris Statlander versus The Bunny, Penelope Ford, and I can't even remember who the last one is. Shlong, do you remember who the last person was?
Nyla
Rose, that's right. Thank you. So Layla Hirsch turning heel here, Shlong. I can't wait for that to happen. We go into Bear Country versus The Acclaimed, let's just cut to the end here, Shlong, so we can kind of get through the rest of the show. The Acclaimed win by pinfall with the mic drop from Matt Caster on Bear Bronson. I thought this was a pretty fun match. I'm totally sorry. I forgot there was post-match antics. And before the match, during the wrap, the Acclaimed call out Sting and Darby Allin. So post-match, as they're leaving the ring, the Acclaimed, Sting's music hits. The Icon makes an entrance. Darby Allin also appears from the ring, takes out Max Caster with a dive, and Sting whacks Anthony Bowens with the baseball bat. The fight goes back to the ring, and then Darby hits a back elbow in the corner. Sting hits a Scorpion Death Drop. And, you know, the issue here between these two groups isn't over. So, Shlong, fun match between Bear Country and the Acclaimed. Nice to see Bear Country on regular television, huh?
Yeah, I like that match a lot. I like both those teams. That was a lot of fun. Clearly, they're setting the Acclaimed up for big things. The sad part is I think they're going to take a loss on the way there, which I will just speak to it. The post-match beatdown of Sting and Darby. Because that to me is what's important coming out of this. You had Acclaimed to get a nice win, and then they had the post-match beatdown. Listen, I love Sting as much as anyone. I think Sting is great. I don't want Sting and Darby to beat the Acclaimed. They're not a tag team that's going to go for the gold. This thing should not be. So all your, like, when Sting goes out and he helps win, beat Darby in a feud against Taz, or even the Men of the Year, I can stomach it because those guys can take those hits and keep going. I feel like the Acclaimed need to win this in order to continue to build momentum. It'd be a really severe crusher for them. As much as I love Sting, it's not what I want him doing.
Yeah, I don't need Sting and Darby Allin to hold tag titles. I don't need to see them go on a run. You know, these little feuds that they get involved with, you know, like when they were feuding with Team Taz, right? Like, I'm okay with that stuff. I just feel like this, at this point, I'm kind of over this with the Acclaimed. Like, I don't even remember really how it started. So I'm kind of over this, but let's blow it off and let's see what happens, right? I mean, it's going to be Darby Allin and Sting. The Acclaimed is not going to come out of this on top. That's for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So, Shlong, this is where we get our video package from Pac. And he talks about how he was told he may never see again, but it's just another setback, and now he sees everything. He appreciates the blessing, and now his perspective is different, and his vision has never been so clear. He also is shown holding oh my gosh, I can't remember the deck of cards, what they're called, but he's holding fortune-telling cards, a tarot card, thank you. And it has the eyes crossed out on it, and Pac also has something covering his eyes for the whole video. He's also got pictures of himself with his eyes covered up. So, Shlong, this is what I was thinking. I thought maybe, listen, Pac doesn't necessarily need the Death Triangle, right? And the Lucha Brothers don't need Death Triangle anymore. Maybe Pac is a guy who joins as the third man in the House of Black eventually. He did get his eyes spit into. Maybe that's going to be kind of the magic or the reveal, right? Like, he takes that off and his eyes all fucked up. A faction with Brody King, Pac, and Malachi Black, that's badass. I still think there's a way for Lance Archer to join, and that's also badass. So, I don't know. What do you think? Any way you see it's possible for Pac to join that faction?
I would need justification. I can see it happening. I want justification more than he spit in my eye. Again, I don't want a supernatural thing to this. Like, I like that Malachi Black's thing is that, yes, he's spooky and he does all these things, but like, everyone basically just treats it as like, the reason this is creepy is that this is a grown man doing this. This isn't a mystical being doing this. This is a grown man who believes this about himself. That's very freaky, very scary. So I don't, would it, now, if you tell me he pulls off the blindfold and his eyes are fucked up, but he goes on to be like, after he spit in my eyes, he came and saw me and he told, like, I'd be like, okay. Like, there's a logic there of like, this right. isn't magic. He got in his head. Or like, after he spit my eyes, the Lucha Brothers didn't talk to me. They didn't call and check up on me. They didn't, I could be like, okay, like, it's a logical thing. What I don't want is just be like, he spit my eyes and the poison got in me, because that's stupid and I don't want that.
Right. No, that makes total sense. I think there's a cool way that they could get out of this. Even if it's just, even if that doesn't happen and we just get Pac versus Malachi Black again, I'm all for it. I honestly don't know what's going on with Pac, if maybe he's in the UK and he's kind of stuck there. But, you know, I wish we saw more Pac on television. He seems to come and go in waves, you know, in bursts. So we'll see what's next for Pac. When they get back from commercial, Shlong, Matt Hardy's being interviewed. He says he's focused too much on the HFO and not enough on himself, because something needs to change. And that's when Andrade rolls up, tells him to take it easy and that he does need to focus. And they're both businessmen and he wants to work together. So Matt Hardy says he's intrigued and he'd love to talk in private. So they go off together. Shlong, are we selling off the Hardy family office? Is this finally the end of that Hardy family office?
I hope so. It's been kind of a bomb, not bust. No one's been made out of this. Matt Hardy could be made into a better character. Be interesting to see if they bring in his brother, which they would have major explaining to do on what happened with him and everywhere else. But I think it's not helped. The two that it's helped are the three that it's helped are Butcher and Blade and the Bunny, mainly because Butcher and Blade have been hurt. So it's given the Blade something to do while Butcher's been out, and the Bunny's just kind of been doing her own thing. It has not helped Private Party like it should have. So I really want them to go off either on their own or find someone who's actually going to use them properly.
Yeah.
And let them rebuild themselves up. So this needs to end, because it just hasn't worked out like they wanted.
It also seemed like Private Party was a little taken aback that they weren't invited into the conversation, right? So maybe this, you know, starts to kind of pull everything apart, which I'm with you. Private Party, this hasn't worked out for them. I like the heel characters they've become, but they really haven't done too much. So we'll see what happens. Shlong, we're at our main event of the night. Daniel Garcia versus Sammy Guevara for the interim AEW TNT championship. So as we do get towards the end of this match, let's skip ahead a little bit here. 2.0 does eventually come down to hit ringside and beat up Chris Jericho. They're able to throw him into the barricade and cheer on. They then turn to cheer on Daniel Garcia. Sammy hits a short arm knee. You know, he's got to also fight off 2.0. Eventually, 2.0 does kind of get fought off, and Sammy Guevara wins by pinfall with his Feast Your Eyes. To retain the interim AEW TNT. Oh, I'm sorry. It's not Feast Your Eyes. What am I talking about? Go to hell. GTH. To retain the interim AEW TNT championship. Post-match, David Crockett shakes his hand, but 2.0 jump in and beat Sammy down. That's when Chris Jericho runs 2.0 off with the bat and ends up getting in Eddie Kingston's face. So the two of them are facing off, and that is the end of the show. Shlong, I'll tell you this. I wanted to love this match. I didn't necessarily love this match. I thought it was a little sloppy in parts. I was a little surprised. Sammy looked tired. What did you think?
A little bit, I guess. I still liked the match a lot. You know, he had match, what was it? Sunday, you know, Saturday. He's probably just a little beat up. Yeah, two matches of this caliber back to back. One of them's going to suffer. But I really liked the match. I think this was what I wanted. I mean, listen, it's not at the level that Garcia's had with others or Guevara's had with others. I will admit that. Like, this isn't going to go down in either best match or even in the top 50%, but it still was an okay match. Like, I still enjoyed it. This is what I wanted from Guevara.
They just didn't seem to jive to me, right? Even Asian Joe said, well, it wasn't just you, Joe, because he said Guevara and Garcia looked like their chemistry was off. That's how I felt, to be honest. That's how I felt a little bit.
I mean, that happens. There's matches all the time where the guys just don't, for whatever reason. You have two of the best in the world, and they just don't seem to click. But because they're both so good that even when their chemistry's not good, they could still put on an okay match. But I always wanted Guevara to have these defenses against really good guys. Because, yes, you'll have this match where the chemistry isn't good, but his next match against someone, the chemistry will be right, and they'll be awesome. So, like, he needed more of these, and that's why I was upset when he lost the title, in the sense that, like, I felt like he didn't get enough of this. The after-the-match stuff is clearly setting up, you know, Eddie Kingston versus Jericho, which we said earlier we're okay with. I really think this is probably going to lead to the dissolution of the Inner Circle for good. I think you're going to see, which is what's needed. I think they've served their purpose. They won PWI's Faction of the Year for 2021. They've got their accolades. Let them break up. Go their separate ways. Let this be the story. I like 2.0. I like Garcia. They're using them great. It's just a matter of now that. I will say this. This is the advantage of factions, though. You've gotten a lot more guys involved in one story than you would if there's no factions. That's one, at least one thing that AEW does well with the factions, is that it allows six or seven guys to get involved, or instead of one or two.
Right. Right. I think we're seeing it with the Pinnacle, right? Like, the Pinnacle, I think, is going to kind of break up here. We're going to get guys leave it. I think we need to see the same thing happen with the Inner Circle. So I think that's where we're headed. You're right. I just was sort of disappointed by this match. I'm not disappointed with the outcome. I'm just disappointed because it seemed like there were stuff that should have looked better, and it seemed like these guys just couldn't pull it off. For whatever reason, their chemistry was just seemingly off. But either way, Sammy's holding the title, and they said next week Cody Rhodes will be back with his TNT title. So we'll see what happens. Friday night at Rampage, Friday night on Rampage, we're going to get a couple of matches that we already talked about. But It was announced that we were getting Adam Cole versus Trent Beretta, Sean Spears versus Andrew Everett, Chris Statlander, Red Velvet, and Layla Hirsch versus The Bunny, Penelope Ford, and Nyla Rose. And we were also going to get an AEW World Tag Title match, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus John Silver and Alex Reynolds. So, Schlong, I only have a couple things, kind of like news sort of things from the past week. There's not too much here. And I know you and I are sort of hurting tonight. I know you have a headache and I'm not feeling that great. So we'll get through this pretty quick here and then we'll wrap things up. But I hate to break it to you, Schlong. The fourth Cruise of Jericho has been postponed till 2023. I know you were looking forward to it, but it's been postponed.
Yeah, two cruises in 6 months for Jericho is a bit much. You need to spread that out.
I think it is honestly the case, or what's going on out there with COVID and all that kind of stuff. But yes, I wouldn't want to do two cruises in 6 months on a Jericho cruise, or really with anybody, to be honest. So unfortunately, folks, if you were interested in doing the Jericho cruise, they are delayed until 2023. That is the four-leaf clover edition. One of the reasons is the current environment, really, kind of COVID. Schlong, the other thing, did you hear that CM Punk is headed to GCW?
No, I didn't, actually. Yes.
He's going to be inducting Dave Prazik into the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame. So he's not going to wrestle, but maybe he shows up. He'll be doing the induction on Saturday night, January 22nd at 7 p.m. at the Cutting Room in New York City. Tickets are available, but CM Punk will be at the event inducting somebody into the Hall of Fame. Maybe he'll show up Sunday. Who knows? Hey. It could be fun. And Schlong, do you see the big, the big rumor of the weekend or the week is that multiple sources are saying that, are telling WrestleVotes, and believe it or not, WrestleVotes is almost always right. But multiple sources told WrestleVotes they believe the WWE will try for an unexpected Forbidden Door entrant into the Men's Royal Rumble. That led a lot of people to thinking that possibly it could be Chris Jericho. Now, to be honest, Schlong, do you think there's any shot in hell that it's Chris Jericho?
So I had heard the Forbidden Door rumblings for the Rumble, rumblings for the Rumble, Jesus. But because of, you know, Mickey James coming from Impact over. Now, I didn't hear Jericho. Jericho is the only one it makes sense for because they let him do Stone Cold's thing. But even still, I'd be really shocked because I cannot see WWE putting any AEW wrestler on their screen. Because you know, right, in order for it to happen, AEW not only would have to sign off on it, they'd have to say, like, you're gonna have to mention us and you can't embarrass them. So, like,
yeah,
I see more someone from Impact again, someone from the Indies, something like that, or New Japan even. It just wouldn't make sense to me that they could do it. I mean, if they did, good for them, but
yeah. With all the shots that AEW takes at the WWE on live television, I couldn't imagine that they want to bring somebody in. But you know what? Stranger things have happened. So we'll see what happens. That's just, again, just a rumor. Nobody said anything. But yeah, that's the rumor, apparently. It could be Jericho, but I don't think it's going to happen. Not at all.
Yeah.
Schlong, honestly, that's it. Oh, the only other thing that came out today, and again, this is not AEW news, but Corey Graves apparently was cleared for in-ring return action. So he's been out of action for 7 years, and they finally said, hey, you're cleared. you know, so he can get back in the ring. My theory is he'll get back in the ring. He'll win the NXT title. He'll then give it up. He'll sit off of television for a number of months, and then they'll release him. Seems to be the plan with most of their commentary guys.
Yeah.
That was Joe.
Just so people are listening, Ant's got a cold. I had a migraine today, so both of us were a little off, and my mind started wondering if we talked about Joe last week, and we did.
Yes.
Because I'm like, something we had to talk about, which we don't, but no, you're right. I mean, I watched Graves NXT run, because when I started to get back into wrestling, NXT was one of the things that helped me do it. So I went back and watched all the old NXTs, and I actually liked him as a wrestler. I liked his run. But he wasn't Danielson. He wasn't CM Punk. He wasn't Edge. I don't think a lot of people are clamoring for him to come back. That being said, they can now throw him in the occasional storyline, which could work. You know, the announcer gets thrown into a storyline type deal. Could be a lot of fun for them. I don't think it's going to be anything consistent. I think it's going to be a here or there kind of basis.
Yeah, I mean, listen, good for him that he's cleared for action. I'm sure that he's wanted to wrestle again, you know, at some point over the last 7 years. It's just, it just makes me think of Joe when I heard that news. I'm like, that's what they did with Joe. They said, sure, like, you can come back and wrestle. You're cleared for action. And then he won a title, and they made him hand it over, and then they said, you're not cleared to wrestle anymore. And then eventually released him a second time. So it just makes you wonder what the logic is there, or what changed for Corey Graves. But good for him. Let him wrestle. Yeah. Guy likes to wrestle. Let him wrestle.
Agreed. And as Asian Joe said, he could make a good mouthpiece for someone, and he could. Now that he can take a bump, it adds, you can might put him in as a manager, because the threat is there that he could get powerbombed or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, Schlong, last week we were on track to end at 2 hours. This week, we really pushed through here, man, because the two of us are not 100%, but we're here for the fans. We're here for the people who are listening or watching us on the YouTubes and the Facebooks and the Twitters. Thank you for watching and chatting along. Kate is online saying, just here to force you to go longer. Not happening, Kate. If you get in, I will boot you out so fast.
Hope you're having a good night, Kate.
Yeah, totally. But Shlong, we are keeping it to a svelte hour and a half tonight. So before we go, why don't you plug what you do Monday and Tuesday nights?
Monday and Tuesday nights, you can find me live tweeting Dark and Elevation. Then Wednesday nights, you can find me here. And then, so Shlong and good night.
Well, while you're watching Shlong or interacting with Shlong on Twitter on Monday and Tuesday, you can also follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you know, subscribe on YouTube, but DM us to get some free stickers. Just send us your name and address anywhere in the world. We will send them out. I mentioned it before. I'm sending some to Canada as soon as I can get to the post office. Definitely hit us up. You just tell us where you want them to go, and we'll take care of the rest. Kate's not here tonight, but you can certainly connect with her at Kate on Deck IC on Twitter. She's everywhere, so she'll let you know where she's going to be next. I can't even keep track anymore. Matt, Maniac Matt, can be found when he's not here on Wednesday nights. He can also be found Monday nights on the Shining Wizards podcast, 7 p.m. on the Shining Wizards Network. They are 10 years plus running strong. This past week, they spoke to Matt Taven, and I can't remember who the other interview was. Dante Smiley, that's it.
From AEW Dark.
That's right. It was a great interview. They always do good interviews, but they're good at covering all things wrestling. So if you like us, definitely check them out on Mondays. And if you are checking us out on podcast form, we say it every week. Thank you for listening to us in podcast form. We totally appreciate it. Wherever you listen to us, subscribe, like, rate, review, whatever you got to do. It helps us out showing up in the algorithms. But we do suggest you try watching us. If not live, you can always find the videos on our YouTube, Facebook or Instagram page. It's a lot of fun. You can always see who Schlong's got in his background. Who's that tonight? I can't hear you, Schlong.
Sorry, I forgot I pushed it away. The Los Matadores.
Oh, Los Matadores. Schlong always has some sort of tag team in his background. I did not decorate my studio tonight because I just wasn't feeling up to it. Hopefully next week we're back to full strength. But if not, you know, you'll get somebody here joining you every Wednesday night on the Mark Order podcast. We're also going to be at AEW in February in Atlantic City, the entire Mark Order podcast. So if you're going to be there, let us know. And a good number of us will be at GCW in New York City at the end of this month. So let us know if you'll be there. Schlong, appreciate hanging out tonight. Always fun. Sorry your head's not feeling great. Go take something and we'll talk next week.
Have a good one, Ant. Feel better.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Sorry you had to listen to my shitty voice tonight. We'll be back next week here on the Mark Order podcast.
This concludes the Mark Order podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order.